It is 75 degrees at 6:07. What a busy, busy news week. And once again, extraordinary developments today. The FBI leading the investigation into the firebombing at the Daruk al-Farrar or the Al-Farouq Mosque in Bloomington. Really a troubling situation. They're asking for the public's help in that. And the investigation still in its early stages. Also this week, the horrific explosion at Minnehaha Academy. Later on in this hour, we're actually going to visit with the assistant fire chief from Minneapolis, Brian Tyner. And I feel almost guilty talking to him because he has got to be exhausted from all the work that was done and the first responders that arrived on the scene. I know he was on the scene just about all day. And I just obviously we want to thank him, but I just thought it would be prudent to just talk about the kinds of things that we all need to think about when it comes to natural gas and how deadly it can be and how dangerous. And we know that one of the victims is actually still in critical condition, so the assistant soccer coach, so we're worried about that. And then the 6:35 hour is going to be really fun. I told our wonderful producer, Susan Blanche, I said, I would love to have an expert on climate change because I read a story saying that the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle area, Oregon, is having a record heat wave. And in Seattle, only 30% of the people have air conditioning. And the temperatures are, you lived in Washington State. You live in Washington, but the temperatures are in the hunt. You're going to be 100 with the heat in excess of that.
Yeah.
30% of people, only 30% have air conditioning. And it's I just was amazed.
No, it's common over there. And I can't speak completely to it because I didn't live on that side of the state. I lived on the other side, the eastern side of Washington. And you do expect to have some hot stretches over there. So there are people with air conditioning more on that side than in Seattle and in Portland and east of the west of the Cascade Mountains. But you don't usually have these type of heat waves going on. You may have something right where temperatures get into the 90s, but most of the time it's going to be 70s, maybe into the 80s for most of the summertime. And so you don't have those widespread air conditioning units that you have right here in the Twin Cities, in Chicago, when you go further south along the Mississippi Delta and that sort of area. So this is very unusual for that region of the country.
Right. And I actually have been in Seattle in the summer, and it's jacket weather. I mean, it's crisp. So I digress, but also the situation in Phoenix is crazy. I mean, the temperatures there have been so warm this summer that they've actually had to keep planes grounded, which I didn't realize was a potential problem.
Yeah.
But guess who the climate expert that Susan got me? The one and only Paul Douglas, who actually has written a very good book, Caring for Creation. It came out a couple years ago. I'll ask him about it. But it's about climate change from sort of the evangelical Christian perspective. And it's really, really, really good. When you hear that, you might think, oh, it's a little preachy or whatever. But he's as good as anybody I've ever heard on this subject because he is a scientist and he is, measured on this. And his own thoughts have evolved on it. And so anyway, I look forward to talking to him. And of course, he's the new, along with, of course, the wonderful Jordana Green. They are the duo. And Jordana is going to come on later to talk about them hosting the afternoon drive. And this was their first week. And I thought they were great. I think what makes them good is it's a yin and yang. I mean, these are, you got the scientists, you got Mr. Cool, you've got Jordana who gets emotional and worked up and funny. And Douglas is funny too. I thought it was an interesting combination, and I can't wait to talk to them because that'll be really fun. And then we got a lot of stuff. We've got a Bernie Madoff-like story. It's a story about a woman whose husband committed a white-collar crime to cover up substantial debt, is prosecuted, and winds up in prison. She has no idea. And so she's written a book. She's going to talk to us about that. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, we've got Dave Schultz, who I really appreciate because things were so busy that a phone call was missed to him. But he actually has a very interesting story about an ostrich egg. Apart from all the politics, yes, he is ready to cook up an ostrich egg. Not what you'd think from Dave Schultz, but anyway, we'll have to hear that story as well. So we should probably take a quick break here in just a second, and we'll be joined by Brian Tyner, who has had a very, very, very busy week as the assistant fire chief of the Minneapolis Fire Department, dealing with that horrible explosion at Minnehaha Academy that the NTSB is now investigating. So, folks, a lot going on. Keep it right here. You're listening to News Radio 830. It is 66 degrees, getting a little cooler here, 6:14. Very busy news week, as I mentioned. Obviously, we've got the situation in Bloomington. The FBI, the DEA are investigating along with Bloomington police. We certainly had a devastating situation happen earlier this week in Minneapolis, where there was that, we now understand, is a natural gas explosion at Minnehaha Academy. Two people were killed. A number were injured. One of the injured is still in critical condition. Brian Tyner is the assistant fire chief for the Minneapolis Fire Department. You were on the scene all day, and Chief, I am very grateful and feeling a little guilty that you're taking the time to call in, because I would think you might need a break.
No, don't feel guilty.
Okay.
I probably do need a break, but it's not coming anytime soon. So.
Right. Well, and I actually also feel guilty because I had asked for the day off like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon the day before this happened. I said, oh, you know, can I get it? And then I did. But you were out there all day. So I was actually watching it, and you were giving some of the statements. First of all, I know that you've been with the fire department for years. I mean, how bad was this compared to other natural gas explosions that you've seen?
You know, honestly, I've been on the fire department for 22 and a half years, and there's no doubt this was the worst gas explosion I've ever seen in my career.
Right. And obviously such a big building. I've been over there before. This is a big brick building. The force of it, remarkable. And it just, I think, thanks to the first responders, it's fortunate there weren't more people killed. But let me ask you, from the fire department's perspective, obviously this was a big job. We know that they were moving things. It's all under investigation. They were moving, I guess, the gas, the main gas thing, readjusting it. What would you like to tell people to be careful of, both in their homes and at work, when it comes to natural gas?
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to reiterate that, you know, the Minneapolis Fire Department, we respond to hundreds, if not thousands, of gas leaks every year. And, you know, over 99% of them do not result in explosions or you know, the gas igniting. So natural gas used as a tool is generally a safe thing as long as it's used properly. As far as natural gas used in your home and in commercial buildings, the main thing is to remember is to make sure that all your natural gas appliances are properly maintained and cleaned every year so that they are burning efficiently. A natural gas appliance, if it's burning efficiently, the pilot light, or in the case of a stove, the stove top should show a blue flame. If the flame is yellow or any other color, then that means it's probably not burning efficiently, which means there could be byproducts coming off of it, such as carbon monoxide or possibly even a natural gas leak. So if you don't have a nice blue flame coming out, you should call a technician to come out and adjust those and service those appliances.
All right. And obviously, I think most of us know the odor of natural gas, but I think maybe some people don't. I mean, is that a problem?
That can be a problem. I think most people now kind of know the odor of natural gas. Actually, it's a little known fact that natural gas in its natural form is odorless. It actually doesn't have an odor naturally. There's a chemical called mercaptan that's added to it by natural gas contractors that give it that smell that we recognize to be natural gas.
Right, and because it's there. And then, so you're saying you can have an appliance, and obviously this is on a much larger scale, and they were doing some major remodeling here with the gas supply, but you're saying that in your home, you can have an appliance that's not working 100%, and it could gradually be leaking, or else if you're out of town for the weekend or something like that, and then that can build up. Are you able to determine, investigators able to determine how long, like in when a home does explode, how long usually has the gas been leaking, or does it just really vary?
It varies, and it varies. It depends on the amount of gas leaking. So for gas to actually ignite or explode, it has to be in a very specific concentration of natural gas to air. The lowest point where it can explode, we call the lower explosive limit, and the highest point we call the upper explosive limit. 99% of the time we go to a natural gas leak, it's below the lower explosive limit. So we can mitigate that by opening windows, by ventilating, by locating the source of the leak and shutting that off. Once it gets within that explosive limit, the atmosphere is very dangerous. Any ignition source that is introduced to it can cause an explosion. And it remains that way until there is so much gas in the air that it gets above the upper explosion limit. So in other words, if you think of it as a meter, there's an area in the middle of that meter where the gas is actually the right mixture to be explosive.
Let me ask you, Chief, and I know that there are sort of permits that have to be pulled, and there were permits in this case. What, you see this, you think if it could happen at a school, it could happen really anywhere. How much monitoring is there of these larger scale projects? And maybe you don't know that. Maybe that's not your department. But, I mean,
this is not my department. But the way the permits normally work is a contractor who has been licensed to do the work will pull a permit to conduct a certain amount of work. That work will be approved and the permit issued. And what normally happens is an inspector comes to inspect the work after it's been done. So it's not like somebody is standing over their shoulder
right
the whole time that they're doing the work to make sure that they're doing it right.
Okay. And obviously they have to be licensed and bonded. And well, as you said, you went on the fire department 22 years and had never seen something as serious as this. I know that some other ones that I've been to involving home explosions involved digging on the property. Have you seen that?
We see a lot of that, and actually, a lot of times it's not home. More often than not, it's on construction sites and maybe street maintenance where crews are digging and they hit a gas line. Normally, those are pretty simple to deal with. If the gas is venting into the air, then it's not going to collect enough to be explosive. So in those cases, oftentimes, we can cap off the leak and call CenterPoint Energy, which, services Minneapolis to come and shut off the gas and repair the line. So if that happens often, I would recommend definitely before digging in your yard, if you're doing any work around your home, to call Gopher One and have them mark those lines for you.
Right. A good idea. Let me ask you, going back to Minnehaha Academy, did you folks have any kind of warning? Was there a 911 call earlier about a suspected gas leak?
No, nothing. Our first 911 call was to report the building collapse.
Wow. Okay. And how structurally unsound is it still at this point?
It is pretty unsound. It's definitely not safe for the public. We have investigators who are on site doing investigations. They have to be very careful about where they go and what they do. There are things that can be done to either shore up certain areas that they need to get into or possibly, remove debris to make it a little more safer, but it is definitely a dangerous work site.
All right. And in terms of any other, it just looks so devastating. I assume that the natural gas has been completely shut off.
Absolutely. The natural gas has been completely shut off. That's something that we had CenterPoint assist us with during the rescue and recovery effort, along with the electrical power. That's pretty standard practice for all gas, at least gas explosions, house fires, everything. One of the first things we do is secure those utilities and shut off the power and the gas.
And obviously, I know that it's under investigation, but it had to be a massive amount of gas. I'm not sure people really can understand how big this building is. Everything looks a little smaller on TV sometimes. This is an enormous big brick building. It had to be an awful lot of gas.
Absolutely. It was a big area, and it would have had to have been a lot of gas moving really fast. In other words, it would have had to fill up the area really fast and then find an ignition source in order to do that much damage in that amount of time.
And does there always have to be, and this may be a really dumb question, does there always have to be an ignition source?
There always has to be an ignition source. The gas won't just ignite on its own. It has to meet some type of ignition source, But that ignition source doesn't necessarily have to be a fire or a flame. It can be something as small as a spark from a light switch or from a cell phone or, you know, any type of electronic device.
Which, of course, there would be a lot around. And no firefighters were injured in this?
Thankfully, no firefighters were injured in this. And, you know, thankfully, school is not in session yet. This could have been a lot worse had it happened.
Well, it was you folks do a fabulous job. And I know that you were out there, as I said, because I was watching it. So I really appreciate your time and get some rest, because I'm sure you probably need it, as do all the other first responders who did such a great job that day.
Absolutely. I'll try to do that, but we have important work ahead.
All right. Well, take care. Thank you so much, Chief.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Brian Tyner, the deputy chief of the Minneapolis Fire Department, an amazing job. And as I said, it's this is a big, big building. It's weird. Sometimes you don't kind of grasp from the aerials just how big a space this is. Maybe you do, but it just the force is just extraordinary, and it's scary stuff. I mean, I've been to these explosions with homes and to see that, but to have that kind of force, it's, you know, obviously a tragic situation. We certainly are hoping and praying for the assistant soccer coach who is still in critical condition, but that was scary stuff.
I saw the story. This happened Wednesday. I saw it in the afternoon, just on a news headline. I was at my other job, and I had clicked on something on the computer, and just got upgraded on the work computer to Windows 10, so they have a little news blurb in the start menu. So I'd clicked on that for some reason, looking at another story, and then I see this, and just that whole middle section of the building is just gone.
Right, and it's just.
Well, and the first, I'm just thinking, wow, what happened? And it didn't take until I was watching it later on the newscast where part of me was thinking, why, you know, this was really fortunate that they're only, and again, it's tragic in any circumstance.
Absolutely.
In any circumstance, this is tragic. But it was fortunate that only two people got killed and a few others were injured. And then it just flipped, my mind flipped, and the chief just talked about this. The school is still out of session.
Right.
If school was in session, if this had happened 4 or 5 weeks later.
Yeah. Or even, wow. I think they go back extremely early. I think they go back the week of, I think it's like the 23rd or something like that. They go back earlier than almost anybody. It's not just the week before Labor Day. It's actually
so 3 weeks in the, 3 weeks in the future. And this could have been an extraordinary catastrophe. And on the heels of people remembering the anniversary of the 35 bridge collapse.
Right. Well, I do think that we did some wonderful stories. Actually, WCCO television did some wonderful stories this week on some of the stories of the first responders. And really, Susan Elizabeth Littlefield did some. I'm going to leave some people out. I mean, they were just fabulous stories. One was a Minneapolis police officer. I don't have his name because I wasn't planning to bring this up, but who carried a woman 3 football fields from the wreckage to an ambulance. Just the amazing work they did, the doctors did. And just, I mean, really, we're very, very fortunate to have people who are so well-trained and really heroic, and you know that building apparently is so dangerous right now that they still couldn't go into it, but yet they did go into it to try and find people that first day. So
and you just have to take your cap off and applaud those people that did that, because you don't know with something like that happening and again it didn't affect the side of the building where you might see another. This was right in the middle of the building, so you don't know how much more of that building is compromised.
Right. And it's
by
this big brick. I mean, I can't even imagine how dangerous.
I mean, this is something that's sort of off to the side and that's not as important as the actual event that happened. But like you said, school's going to start in just about 3 weeks.
It sounds like they can't.
Where are they going to house all these kids to go to school?
There are two campuses. That happened on the upper school campus. There's also a lower school campus that's a few blocks away. So maybe that can take some of the overload. I think they're going to have to figure it out. I think it's a private school that has pretty small class sizes, but still they're going to have to figure that out as well. It's a beautiful building. I mean, it's just a gorgeous campus.
Yeah.
But anyway, just a big thank you to Brian Tyner, and he really very he did a lot of the introductions and was very reassuring, I think, in the way he spoke to people and on camera and about that. He did a really nice job. So we are very grateful, very, very grateful to our first responders who have had a busy week here. And yes, I agree. We were all thinking of the 35W bridge collapse, of course, and that 10-year anniversary. There's been a lot going on this summer, hasn't there? A lot going on. All right, folks, let's see. We've got it is 6, what is it, 6:30? My screen just went off, so, but we can check here. Oh, I can see the clock across the way here. It is 6:30. We need to break, give you some weather, and then when we come back, Paul Douglas and Jordana Green are going to join me. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is 6:34 in the Twin Cities. Great to be with you on this Saturday evening. If you're just joining us, I gave this intro a little bit last half hour. I'll do it again. I actually told Susan Blanche, the producer of this show, who also produces Afternoon Drive, I said, you know, I'd really like to get a climate change expert, because I know everybody's been talking about Phoenix and Arizona, but I read this article this week about the heat wave in the upper northwest, the Seattle area. And in that city, 30%, only 30% of people actually have air conditioning, and it's going to be 100 degrees for a number of days. And so Susan Blanche came through, as she always does, and got me, as a climate expert, the one and only Paul Douglas. Thank you so much. And the new host of Afternoon Drive with Jordana Green.
I know, another sign of the apocalypse.
Listen, and we're going to get Jordana on here in a little bit, not to talk about climate change, because I do want to talk about that. But, I mean, you guys have sounded great, and I know it was kind of a crazy week to begin because the news cycle is so crazy these days. But are you having fun?
Yeah. I'm still trying to feel my way. People ask what it's like, and I say it's a little like learning a new language or trying to speak a new language, because the format, just knowing how much time you have, what to click, you know, what commercial spot, oh, now I've got to toss to traffic and weather, and it just, you know, it's foreign. And I think at some point it'll become second nature, as it has been for you. But for now, it's still a little intimidating.
Well, you do not sound intimidated. You sound your silky smooth, unflappable self as always. I mean, you know that's. I'll say this one. I should probably say this for Jordana, but I like sort of the combo, because she'll get you sort of worked up in a frenzy, and you're sort of like the cool guy that's, you know, hanging back. And it's a great sort of meshing of a yin and yang, I think, and which is probably why they thought it would work.
Well, you're sweet for saying that.
No, I really do. I really do think so.
I love you so. Okay. You tell me what I want to hear.
No, I actually really think it's a great combination of you know, the way you guys work together. But we'll talk about that with Jordana. I do, though, I interviewed you when your book came out, Caring for Creation. I talked about that in the previous half hour. When did that come out?
It came out last year at possibly the worst possible time. I think it came out October, right before the election. And everybody was in, you
know, state.
Election, election euphoria. That's not the right word. I don't know.
It was pretty crazy, yeah.
It was crazy, and still is, by the way, as you well know. But, this minister and I decided that we needed to try to amp up the messaging for conservatives, and especially for evangelicals, to try to make the case that, I mean, you can pile on the science till you're blue in the face. Some people respond to science, others don't. Others are suspect of science and see science as competitive and, you know, threatening in
right.
a way
the
to their worldview.
Yeah.
And so we try to approach this, yeah, the science is important, but, you know, just looking at this from a spiritual, biblical standpoint, you know, we need to pay attention. We need to keep our eyes open. So thank you for having me on for that.
Well, I've got to tell you, and I told you this last year, it's a great book. It's not very long, but it just presents it in a different way that you haven't heard before. And I think for some people that might be a really big deal. Basically, you've got the science there, but you've got a different perspective. And I think if you're wondering about climate change, if you have your doubts, and I assume it's still available, Caring for Creation by Paul Douglas. It's a wonderful read, I think, and a very easy read too. But I do want to ask you about this situation. That seems crazy about the upper Northwest. I had no idea that so few people there had air conditioning, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, 1 in 3, and they sort of wear it as a badge of honor. It's like, why do we need air conditioning? Seattle gets 3 days a year of 90 degrees. Three.
Wow.
That compares to about 13, 14 here in the Twin Cities. So their point is, why on earth would we need to invest in air conditioning if it doesn't get that hot that often? But increasingly, as the entire atmosphere warms, the Pacific Northwest is seeing more of these extreme heat events. And, people are scrambling. And the problem with the Northwest, as my son Walt, who you know, and he lives out there, and he explained this to me. You know, they're surrounded by water, Puget Sound. It's stunningly,
it's beautiful.
Achingly beautiful up there. But, you know, the water is somewhat polluted. They have all these container ships, and you don't swim in Puget Sound. They have a few lakes, but it's nothing like Minnesota. So, again, keeping your cool if you don't have AC becomes, you know, less than trivial.
Right. Another place, too, that I just find, we had a story on the other day on WCCO TV about planes actually being grounded in Arizona because it was
right.
so hot they can't fly. And I just thought, that's just mind-blowing. And you've got temperatures of 115, 118, 119. I mean, how can people live? I guess there they have air conditioning. But it's just, that's staggering.
Yeah, this would be a good time. All those friends who moved down to Scottsdale, who love to golf and love to send you emails or texts in January with a weather update, this would be a good time to send them a quick note asking them how they're holding up down there, because they're living in a desert. You know, I remind my friends, I think it was a Sam Kinison bit. You're living in a desert.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I don't know if this was in your book or just in the conversation that we had about your book, you said, you know, as far as you're concerned, the way you look at it, there are going to be winners and losers when it comes to climate change.
Yeah. No question. There's no question. South Florida in serious trouble. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. And when it's going to happen suddenly. And my hunch is it will happen after a major hurricane hits South Florida, and you get extensive widespread flooding, and the insurance carriers, many of them probably will become insolvent. They won't be able to keep up. And at some point, you will not be able to get homeowners insurance for your home in South Florida. When that happens, it's not going to be linear. It's going to be a sudden body blow. It's going to be a kick. And it's going to happen very quickly. So what's happening in South Florida is unsustainable.
And you really feel that that's inevitable?
I think it's inevitable. Absolutely. Oh. I would not. I mean, if somebody gave me a home in South Florida, I don't think I'd take it, just simply because of the liability and the issues. You know, there's always the greater fool theory that, okay, I'm going to buy this home because I know there's somebody who's dumber than I am who will come along and buy this from me in 5 or 10 years. But at some point, that bubble will burst. because of rising seas. Right now, Florida, especially Miami, floods on clear days with a full moon or a new moon. You don't need a storm. You don't need a big storm. And so then if you do superimpose a real storm on top of a high tide, a full moon, a new moon, then you've got serious problems. And so they know they have problems down there. They're doing everything they can, but I don't think, I just don't see a solution. And, you know, Miami and Fort Lauderdale most at risk, but Naples not far behind. And so
a lot of people have some pretty nice homes in the Naples area.
Oh my God. Yes, yeah. There are some unbelievable homes down there. So my point is be very, very careful. I like to, and I say it half tongue in cheek, Esme, don't buy anything right on the water. Buy something 4, 5, 8 blocks inland. And be patient. You'll get your waterfront.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's why, you know, I think it's so interesting. And you also said, you also said Minnesota, you think, is actually going to turn out to be one of the winners.
Yeah, in a perverse way, Minnesota and Wisconsin will probably benefit because we're warming up. The winter's not as forbidding. I think more corporations will move here.
From Florida.
We have water. The parts of the United States that are going to be hit the hardest are many of the red states, you know, that voted for President Trump, where the heat index is going to be intolerable much of the summer, and you've got rising seas. We already have climate refugees in coastal Louisiana, people that have moved away from coastal sections. So
absolutely.
I think Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida, but even Virginia, the Navy is retrofitting their ports in Norfolk, the biggest port that the Navy has. So it's a
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
It's a slow motion headache, and I think in the long run, at least looking out 20, 30 years, Minnesota will be one of the short term winners. Our climate will be downright agreeable compared to what much of the southern U.S. is going to be faced with.
All right. Well, listen, and that's why I just think your perspective is just so fascinating on this. Listen, we're going to take a quick break because we're going to bring on Jordana here to talk about the new show. So stay with us. More ahead on News Radio 830 WCCO. All right, folks, 647. Well, who do we have here on a Saturday evening? The new afternoon drive team on WCCO Radio. Jordana Green and Paul Douglas, who we've just been talking to. Congratulations, you guys.
Esme, I'm so happy to hear the both of you on the air.
Well, it's awesome. And I was telling Doug, and I should really save this for you. I think what's really kind of cool about the pairing of you guys is that you're kind of the detail person who's telling me about how she's freaking out because her kids are away at camp. And then I'm like, I'm freaking out too. And I don't know what to do because I don't even know what to do with myself. And then you've got the big picture guy. And it's just, I think you complement each other so well. In terms of, it's kind of like a yin and yang that just fits perfectly.
I would thank you very much, and I would totally agree that Paul is very calm, and when I do freak out, he calms me down and has been doing that for a long time. And I'm just so grateful that he agreed to come back and work with me, right? What a coup to get him back on the air.
Right, absolutely. And you guys actually work together. I'm not sure, and you probably talked about that, and I may have missed it, but you guys worked together a little ways back.
Well,
yeah, I was a bouncer. I was a bouncer at a night at a night. Jordana was one of the waitresses.
Dancing.
One of the favorite. Yeah, she would dance, and it was beautiful. So
No. Come on, tell the people the real story.
Okay,
come on, you tell us all.
We launched a new weather channel, a national weather channel called Weather Nation, which amazingly, miraculously, is still up. On DirecTV and Dish, and Care 11.2 runs this over the air for free. Back in 2011, we launched this, Esme, and I needed an executive producer who was willing to scrounge and fight and scrap. And she had no budget, no money. but go out and please be competitive with the Weather Channel.
Oh, no, no small instruction there.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You know, Esme, I was lucky. First of all, everybody knows Paul. And second of all, it was, you know, the beginnings of internet sharing. People were putting up videos on YouTube of, you know, the rainstorm in their backyard.
Right.
Or they were taking, you know, just freelance, you know, tornado videos or of the snow or, you know, that kind of thing. So we were getting on board with social media, which really helped our cause. And because of the laws of Creative Commons, trust me, I spent plenty of Paul's money talking with the lawyers about what I could air and couldn't air. He just doesn't like to remember
God
that
help
part.
Me. God help
yeah.
me.
Yeah, but... So, but it's great. And, Jordan, when I say you're freaking out, I guess what I, you know, I sort of enjoy as somebody who is a mom, and my kids are teenagers now, which the problems are still there. They're just different. But, you know, I think it's the freaking out is in a good way, and you're so funny about it, and it makes me think, well, gosh, she's freaking out, so it's okay if I freak out too, because I don't know what I'm doing either. So,
but, you know, hey, we've all freaked out, Esme.
Yeah.
I mean, Laurie and I, we had our own issues and personal hells raising our two boys.
Oh, they're great guys.
They turned out amazing. But everybody, I don't care who you are, how much money, where you live, what color you are, where you're from, everybody has that awkward phase where you're trying to find yourself and you're trying to grow up and you're trying to turn into an adult. And it's awkward, it's ugly, but everybody gets through it. And so it's been kind of fun listening to Jordana, you know, talk about some of her travails. But this too shall pass, and there will come a time, trust me, when both of you miss these crazy, insane, hair-pulling days where you wonder what your kids are doing and why they haven't come home and why they haven't called.
Well, they're both, they're both working at a camp today, and I'm like, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, I'm just like, everything is quiet. I mean, the quiet just seemed to be bouncing. It was deafening. It was so quiet.
It's horrible.
I was like, I mean, and what am I supposed to be doing? What should I, and I'm like, they're not here. Anyways.
When did they come home, Esme?
Oh, they just, it's not, he's only going for, it's like a week, and they're both like working there. So, but it's just, I usually, they don't go the same time, and I'm just, was kind of looking around. But anyway, I love that story about camp and looking at the pictures.
Oh,
and then just sticking to the, ticking your guns about not calling the camp.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, my gosh. I was on the edge. I was on the edge. And I ran into somebody, and he goes, don't do it, because it was his daughter who I would be calling, who's the director. But Esme, mine come home, all three of them come home Tuesday. So I have actually taken the day off of work. So can you please call in and give Paul some sympathy? Because he has to do 3 hours on his own. I've sort of left him to his own devices just a week on the job. I have a lot of Jewish guilt about that, but he's amazing. So he's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, he was saying that he was having trouble figuring out when the breaks were or whatever. And I'm like, come on. You are so silky smooth.
Esme.
I mean, Esme. You're the guy who, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you're absolutely unflappable. I mean, that was always the thing, you know, can we ever get, you know, have Douglas kind of screw up on the air? Because it just never happened.
Just wait for it. Be patient. But actually, here, Esme, it turns out that Jordana every day draws me like a little diagram. She draws me like a little picture of the wheel and when we have to go to break. Okay, it's 17 after the hour. And it's like she's talking to a four-year-old. And then at 29 after the hour, we go to traffic. And then at 47, it's Wicks and Jewelers. And she draws me this picture every day. And eventually, after a year or two, I will get it.
Well, I think you're a pretty fast learner. Just let me tell you this. If they have, like, a giveaway, I missed Keyword for Cash 1 hour when I was filling for Heinz.
Oh,
and I didn't, you know, you'd think... my goodness, you know, I had just bombed out on the five words you're not supposed to say on, you know, the FCC was coming down on me. It wasn't pretty. So.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Brutal. You gotta be on it. Paul makes no mistakes, but I do give him visual aids.
Visual aids.
I talk him through it. I mean, as they, you know.
You guys should, Facebook Live this stuff.
Oh,
people
God,
love that
no.
kind of thing.
No.
So, I'm serious.
That's a good idea, Esme.
No.
Yes. Right. Like Jordana doing the visual aids. That's a great idea.
No visuals. That's why I love radio. Because, you know, if you have pictures, you get lazy, right? I mean, with radio, it's the words you choose, the power of your writing, the storytelling, and everybody gets something different. You have to use your imagination. You have to use your brain. TV, it's all there for you. You know,
I know, but it's meshing. I mean, as Jordana was saying, I mean, everything's changing. I remember, like, Jordana, your video, Facebook video with John Williams, you were reenacting in the studio the synchronized diving.
Okay, that was hilarious.
It was hilarious, and it was like the number one hit on our website for Facebook for like days. It was so you got a lot to live up to, mister.
Oh, great.
He does video. He's good with video.
Are you good at synchronized diving?
No,
you got to show it to him.
I know all 50 states. I mean, let's see how far that gets me.
Okay.
Which is good, because I don't do math, but now I have Paul, so he does math. It all works out.
Well, see, that's the yin and the yang. Well, listen, you guys, congratulations, and sounded great. I know it's a very busy first week for you, but I think it's a really cool combination, and I'll tune in on Tuesday to see if Paul can make it through without the wheel.
It's going to be 3 hours of Doppler radar. There are 159 Doppler radars around the United States, and we will visit each one.
Well, that sounds like riveting, riveting stuff there.
Riveting. Yeah, I can hear the listeners clicking away.
Give it a chance.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, you guys, and for taking some time on Saturday. And good luck. I mean, not that you need it. And congratulations. It's a great, great show.
Appreciate the encouragement, Esme. God bless. Thank you. Keep up what you're doing. We really appreciate your show and your upbeat positivity.
Well, thank you. And Jonathan wants to say something
here. Before we let you go, just a bit of advice. If you're looking for something to fill time, call the National Weather Service. Have that automated voice on standby so
ooh,
we can go through.
Ooh!
There you go. Robot voice.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Every weekday afternoon, Paul Douglas and Jordana Green together from 3 to 6. And I just think that they complement each other so well because they're so different in terms of the way they react to things, in terms of, you know, their knowledge base. And anyway, I think it's a fun, fun show. Just listened to it a few times this past week. Well, folks, we got much more ahead here. 8 o'clock, we're going to have David Schultz to talk about an ostrich egg that he's going to fry up, and politics as well. Keep it here. News Radio 830.